Let's go to our segment on New Zealand screen history now. We're looking back at the early years of New Zealand's longest-running soap opera, Shortland Street. 1992 it started. And it's hosted almost every actor in New Zealand at some point. There have been abductions and affairs and fires and bombs and car accidents, and I even think I saw a ghost on there once as part of the plot. You name it, it's happened on Shortland Street. Let's get into the mood with a bit of original theme music. Is it you or is it me? Lately I've been lost, it seems. I think a change is what I need. If I'm looking for a chance or a dream, Shortland Street. Taking time to hold my place, yesterday's another waste, just living for the times we've seen. Oh, yeah, it's been upgraded since then, I think, but nice to hear that one again. I'm joined today to remember the street's early years by Chris Bailey, who was the first executive producer, or EP, of Shortland Street, and first assistant director, Carmen Leonard. We're also going to have some pre-recorded insights from Michael Galvin, a.k.a. Dr. Chris Warner, to share during the segment too. Well, welcome, first of all, Chris. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Jesse. Yes, I feel very welcome. And it was interesting just hearing that original theme, because I still clearly remember going to Stebbing Studios with Tina to record it. So that's cool.
Tina Arena, was it?
Tina Arena. Tina Cross.
Tina Cross, sorry. Yeah, I've got mixed up. Yeah, that's so iconic. And as I say, I think it's had a bit more of a kind of a modern revamp, as you'd expect. Yeah. Carmen is here as well. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. First thing I've got to ask you is, was the character Carmen in the original Shortland Street named after you?
She was, the beautiful Teresa Healy. I spent a lot of time with the writers back in the day, and Rachel Lang and I were sitting in the smoking room at the Browns Bay Studios back when you could smoke inside and we all smoked, which we don't do anymore. Yeah. And I said, Rach, when are you going to name someone after me? And she said, oh, yeah, okay, all right, we've got this new character coming up. So there she is.
That is cool. Yeah, I went out to that Browns Bay studio to audition a couple of times in the early days. It was pretty exciting for a Hamilton boy. Real glamorous, particularly back in those days, Chris, right?
Oh, yeah, I suppose it was. It didn't actually seem that glamorous to us, I suppose, because it was very much our workplace, and we could see all the frayed bits around the edges that you never saw on television.
How did you get involved with Shortland Street, Chris?
Well, look, I was at South Pacific in those days. I'd been directing for a while, and then I was head of production at South Pacific, and there was movement from TVNZ. They were looking at, they were wanting to do a soap opera. So, and at that stage, there was nothing on the table about what it might be. But we did a liaising with TVNZ and did a feasibility study as to how we might achieve it, because we'd done nothing like that before in New Zealand. Oh, there had been soap operas earlier on, but not to that rate of 5 days a week, half hour a day on air. So we did a feasibility study about how we could achieve it and how we would equip it, all of those things, staff it, you know, all those major things, and looking at how we would pay for it as well. So that, you know, that was very, very early on before the ideas got on the table. And then I think there were, at that stage, we then eventuated to about three ideas, which were as loose as being a medical, a police, and I think the other one might have been a police, a family kind of drama, a la Neighbours. But then after discussions with TVNZ, they particularly wanted to go down the medical path, so then that this whole project was developed from that point on.
Carmen, tell us how you got involved.
I was actually taking a break from the industry, and I was living down in Christchurch at the time, and I got a call from the beautiful Katerina Denave, who Chris had put in place. Hi, Chris. Who had put in place as the producer of Shortland Street way back in the day. And she called me and she said, you need to come up here. I want you to work on a show. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And so she talked to me a little bit more about it. And then I went and had my job interview with Chris Bailey in the corner office in Browns Bay upstairs. Chris, I don't know if you remember this, but I had been, you know, taken some time out of the industry, and he said to me, and I'd been earning like minimum wage out of the industry, and he said to me, oh, the pay's not very good. And I said, oh, well, what is it? And he said, it's XYZ. And obviously it was like three times more than the minimum wage. And I was like, okay. Mm. All right. Yep. Yeah, I'll do it. So that's how it happened. Then I went and bought a sports car.
Wow. So, yeah, as I say, it was the glory days of it. How revolutionary an idea was it, Chris, to have a medical drama on five nights a week in New Zealand?
Well, pretty revolutionary, I guess. There had been other soap operas around, but they weren't to that extent. Close to Home, of course, which was on, in those days, TV1, when the two networks were split into two. There was one, and then TV2, which became South Pacific Television in those days. And South Pacific Television also did a soap opera, of which I was one of the directors, as it so happened, which we did two episodes a week, and that seemed like a challenge. That was 1978. So it was a huge step forward to be talking about doing five a week. And I know, I'm sure I can remember Carmen's eyes when we talked about how many we had to do. So,
yeah. Stress was it getting that first episode out? Like, how much work was it to go from idea to something that actually screened on that first Monday night?
I think by then we were all completely believing in what we were doing. There was a lot of groundwork went into it, you know, and just an interesting side. I was going to talk about Browns Bay, which is where we shot it, but originally it was going to be shot in Shortland Street itself, which is where the name comes from. So that the Shortland Street studios, which were TVNZ studios, the idea was going to be happened to be empty at that time, or pretty well. We were going to use that, including the actual reception area, the loading dock, which was used for bringing sets in and out. We were going to use that as the ambulance bay. So that's where the name came from. And then when we looked further into it, we decided that it wasn't going to be hugely practical to do. So we shifted it all to be shot at Browns Bay, which we also had as a set of studios. Which I'm pretty glad we did, because it was much more straightforward just being on a studio lot, as it were. So, where was I going with that?
they're all good memories. We're going to go back to that first. Yeah, we're going to go back to that first episode now, and people might be able to even do these lines at home. We're going to go to a classic quote from episode one. Here it comes.
Where the hell can he be? Kirsty, check the coffee shop.
And look in the gym as well.
Okay. Dr. McKenna's not back yet?
No, he's not. Is Stuart still in there?
Yes. How old is he?
16.
Well?
Oh, we're still paging Dr. Warner.
You can't afford to wait any longer.
Right, then we'll transfer her.
No, it's too late for that. I can deal with this.
Look. You just can't walk in here and perform a cesarean. So far as I'm concerned, you don't even work here yet.
It doesn't have to be a cesarean.
Anything is too dangerous.
Not if you know what you're doing.
You're not in Guatemala now, Dr. Ropata. If something goes wrong, we could all be in trouble. This clinic could lose its license.
What's more important, a few rules or the well-being of the patient?
It's not as simple as that.
Yes, it is.
Great. That audio courtesy of New Zealand On Screen. That's Temuera Morrison, of course. Carmen, I imagine the actors were pretty stoked to have a full-time gig as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, 5 days a week for however long each of their contracts were. I wasn't involved in that. Back in the day, I was on set more than in the office. So they were. But, you know, no one in New Zealand had worked that fast. And so it was, you know, it was tough. They were doing, you know, some of those days that we used to do in the studio were like 30 minutes plus of television. So, you know, we all sort of learnt how to make it together, and that's the actors as well. And, you know, I've always loved actors, but my love affair with them began even further on Shortland Street with, you know, having to learn all of those lines and having to run in and change costumes and run from set to set to set. The crew also, you know, so fast. None of us really knew in the very, very early days how it was going to work. And it was really, really tough, but so fun because we were making, it was new and we were all making something different that we'd never done before. And we all sort of learnt and made the show together. It was amazing.
I imagine it was pretty good training ground for those actors as well, Chris.
Yeah, it was. It was and certainly has been over the years, and crew as well. We never went into it with that in mind. We went into it to make the most professional show we possibly could. So that has been, in a funny way, I see it as a byproduct in a way, because experience in making shows, as Carmen said, you know, we were all learning together on how to do this giant thing. But the experience was part of that. But in our heads, we were being as professional as we possibly could. And we were trying not to take super risks. Nothing could put the professionalism of the show in any jeopardy, was where we were going.
We've got another clip from that first episode. Susie Aiken playing an aerobics instructor, and Dr. Chris Warner gets in trouble after going AWOL from work with her. Let's have a listen.
Well, I better be getting back, just in case.
Typical. Teach me to have an affair with a doctor.
Hell, my page is off. I could have sworn it was on.
I always think a doctor should give his patient his undivided attention.
Would you turn it off?
Guilty.
Oh, what if they needed me?
Well, the clinic's crawling with doctors, isn't it? They'd just find someone else.
Yeah, unless it was an emergency or something. Really, Jill, that was a stupid thing to do.
Dr. Warner? Chris, are you there?
Oh, no.
What?
That's Kirsty from across the road. They must need me.
Popular boy. Paging Dr. Warner? Whoops. Why weren't you answering your pager? Don't tell me it was turned off.
Something like that. I've really landed myself in it, haven't I?
Up to here.
It's great. Now, I can't wait to hear what New Zealand's thought of that first episode, Carmen. Can you recall?
Sorry, say that again, Jesse. I missed that.
What did New Zealand make of that first look at Shortland Street?
They hated it. They absolutely hated it. I think New Zealanders are afraid to see themselves on TV, and Shortland Street, with its sort of cross section of people, really, really made audiences take a long, hard look at themselves. It was completely and utterly panned. They absolutely hated it. We all sat around in the AD's area, sitting there, all excited about watching it, and then the reviews came out the next day, and boy, whew, it was that was tough, because it was tough to get to that day, and we'd all worked so hard, and we were so proud, and it was really devastating to hear that. But, you know, Chris and the team at SPP, they just backed it. Katerina backed it, backed it, backed it, backed it. And then, you know, it just became a way of life. And people absolutely ended up loving it. I mean, what are we, 30 years down the track almost, yeah. Chris? You know, it's a staple of people's lives, you know, and has been for a very long time. So, yep, they hated it, but they loved it very, very quickly.
Do you remember it being as brutal as Carmen does, Chris?
Yeah, I do. And they're really good points, Carmen. I remember the depression. But we had consultants, Grundy's Television, who are famous soap makers from around the world. And the huge thing they did for us at that point was to say to TVNZ, and it was always on the table, that the first episode would go out there and people would certainly watch it. But then gradually over a period of probably up to 10 months, the show would gradually look as though it was dying in the ratings, and then it would get in the groove and start to go. I don't know whether it took 10 months, but it took quite a long time, but then people started to get it. A lot of people didn't actually realise it was actually a relationship drama at that stage. And it was criticisms from, from people in the profession, if you like, who said it's not actually real. And, of course, it wasn't real in many ways. It was a relationship drama, although it has done incredibly well with issues over the years as well. So that's been a strong backbone to the show too.
You're listening to our series on New Zealand screen history, and we're talking about Shortland Street today. Well, Michael Galvin wasn't able to join us today, but we were lucky enough to have a chat to him, to Dr. Chris Warner, before the show, and he's been on the show since the beginning. We heard him in that early clip. He's had one break of about 4 years out of 29 years, and he says he feels extremely lucky to have been on the show for so long and to have worked with so many fantastic people. Here he is talking about the initial reception to that first episode.
We'd only been getting positive feedback from TVNZ about the show, and that it was great, and we were all great. And so we all watched the first episode together, and we were like patting each other in the back and cheering and like, whoa, this is awesome. And then we all went off into town to celebrate. And then, of course, the next day the reviews came out and also the ratings. And it was just universally panned. I don't think there was one positive review. I certainly can't remember it. And the ratings were quite hilarious because they were in three chunks of the three segments, you know, separated by the two commercial breaks. And the first chunk had enormous ratings, which everyone was tuning in to see, just to see about the show, because it had a lot of publicity just to check out this, you know, Kiwi version of Neighbours. And then, of course, the second and third segments of the show, the ratings just dived, meaning they tuned in to watch it and then gave up on it. So yeah, it was a great disappointment for us, the reaction to the first episode, because we all thought people were going to go nuts for it, and they did the exact opposite.
That's Michael Galvin. Well, as we know, some success did follow that. And I'm talking to Chris Bailey and Carmen Leonard, who were both involved at a high level with Shortland Street in the early days. So you got to draw on a bit of Grundy's expertise and experience, Chris. I imagine they told you that the cliffhanger was pretty important.
Yeah, cliffhanger is a crucial part of the show, and building to a very, very strong one at the end of the week on a Friday, so people will come back on a Monday. And then, of course, Christmas, the cliffhanger had to sort of hang over for a longer period of time, so it had to be incredibly strong, so that the resources over the years went hugely into making sure those Christmas cliffs were big.
Carmen, what was your role on set? Sounds like you were involved with the actors and the writing team to some extent.
What? No, not the writing team. So I was a first assistant director, which is the person who basically does all the schedules and decides what you're going to shoot when and who's going to be where and how, etc. Uh-huh. And then on the day, on the floor, moving things along, helping out the director, the director's doing all the shots and stuff. I was just, you know, making sure everything was happening behind the scenes, calling action, that sort of stuff. So I was more active on set than with writing and production office type stuff. So we worked in a control room environment, and there's different ways of working. I mean, Shortland Street has an incredible setup out there that Chris has facilitated over the years. But we had this sort of put together control room where you've got a vision mixer and a sound person and a person telling you what shot's coming next and three cameras and stuff, which is sort of not, it's very unknown, that way of working, really, to a lot of people, which is what makes Shortland Street so different and so tricky to be involved in, because you're using studio cameras. They only have 1 or 1.5 days a week of location. I don't know if that's changed since I was there. So you're only really working in a single camera environment once a week. So it's quite specialised, Shortland Street, in that way. So You've got PED cameras, you've got the Fisher Big Boom and that sort of thing. So it's a real studio setup. So very, very different. So I spent a lot of time with the actors and a lot of time fighting with the writers about what we could and couldn't do.
They did pretty well, Chris, those writers, to come up with all the scenarios to fill, you know, 5 episodes a week, most weeks of the year.
It's an incredible task, and there's quite a writing team, in which there still are, and there's been a lot of people involved in that over the years. But yes, I just marvel at how they actually do it. It's quite structured in terms of how it goes, and there are a number of people involved at any part of that process, because that planning happens quite a long way out. You know, in fact, that they have I'm not there at the moment. We're there, but you know, every 6 months there might be a kind of a 6 month planning session going out as to where things might go, and the network are heavily involved in that, of course. So, and that would involve where characters are going, major storylines heading to, perhaps what's going to happen at Christmas time. So, and then there's detail comes from that episode.
I was going to ask you. Yeah, I'm sure it all sort of melds into one, but do you guys remember the death of, I think it was TP? I remember being at the pub at university and the whole pub stopped to watch that happen on screen. It was was one of those events that went beyond the TV screen and seemed to have everyone talking. Do you recall that?
I wasn't at that pub.
I don't recall that. Did she die in a car accident?
That's so funny. Yeah, it was. That's so funny.
She died in a car accident. I do remember that.
It was just another episode for you. Yeah. okay. Hey, we've got another clip from Michael Galvin here, and this is him talking a bit about the overall impact of the show. Here it comes.
When Short and Sweet started, the cultural cringe was a real thing. It was a very strong thing. And to hear our accent on the TV was it upset a lot of people. You know, we didn't want to hear it. And then, but I thought Short and Sweet was a real force in getting people used to hearing New Zealand voices and also hearing New Zealand stories. So I think that's one thing. It's also the fact that it's always there has just provided an amazing foundation for the TV industry generally. The fact that there's always this show employing hundreds of people, whereas previously, you know, it's all seasonal. Those are two things. Certainly for actors, I remember, you know, being an actor before Short and Sweet, obviously, in drama schools, and your vision of your career was very murky. It was like, well, I guess I'll do mainly theatre, and if I'm lucky, I'll get the odd bit of TV here and there. But post Short and Sweet, I think a lot of young actors can see that there are people making, you know, an okay living, at least for a period of time, as an actor. And what the difference was, previously to Short and Sweet, there was one, maybe two drama schools in the country. And I remember post Short and Sweet, maybe it's calmed down a bit, but I remember about 5 years later, there were like seven or eight or a dozen of these. Like every town had a drama school, basically because, you know, young people were watching their TVs and thinking, oh, well, I can do that.
Michael Galvin remembering Shortland Street. Any final thoughts from you, Chris, memories of those days? We've got about a minute left.
I just thought Michael summed up some really great things there about the cultural cringe and getting used to the New Zealand voice on screen. You know, that's been amazing. And it's really hard to imagine TV2 without Shortland Street where it is at the moment. It would be a completely different channel than it is now. So, and that's been like that for 30 years. So after its rugged beginning, I guess.
Yeah.
So
final thoughts from you, Carmen?
Oh, just thank you to the audience, to SPP, to TVNZ, and everyone who has been involved in that show for so long. I would never, ever have had the career that I've had without it. And I am grateful, very, very grateful for it.
Awesome. Thanks to the two of you for all the drama you've provided New Zealanders over the years. Thanks for your time today.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Jesse. Thanks.
Chris Bailey and Carmen Leonard remembering the early days of Shortland Street.